Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It is a delight to see so many people gathered here this morning, and it is an especial delight to see our bell choir. So a few announcements. First is that this afternoon at 2 o'clock, we have our church council meeting. Monday, our food pantry volunteers are Shelley McPhee, Ryan Rhodes, and Mary Lett. Tuesday at 10 o'clock, we have Bible study here. We are continuing to work our way through the purpose-driven life. We invite anyone who's interested to come and join us. Thursday at 12:30, we have bell practice. And please remember that Sunday, the 22nd, at 10 o'clock, so immediately following our worship service, we have our annual meeting, and we need everyone to attend. Do we have any other announcements we need to take care of? If not, on Sunday the 26th. Did I not say that? The last Sunday of the month. How's that?
Okay.
On the last Sunday of the month, immediately following worship, we will conduct our annual meeting. Sometimes that's easier for me to remember as the last Sunday rather than the particular day. All right, anything else? If not, I invite you to listen as our bell choir blesses us with the Hallelujah Chorus. And what a wonderful day for the Hallelujah Chorus as we recall the baptism of Jesus, our own baptism, and as we also receive new members into our church. Thank you so much, each and every member of the bell choir. The music always enhances our worship service, and we are delighted when you're able to play for us.
Gave us birth, our light and our salvation. Amen.
Amen.
joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God. From the beginning, your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word, you created the world, calling forth life in which you took the life. You created the waters of the earth, wide oceans, rushing streams, clear lakes, mighty rivers. You led your people through the sea and called them to life in covenant with you. Your Son was baptized in the River Jordan to begin his mission among us. You pour out your Holy Spirit to renew the face of the earth. Through this water, remind us of the gift of baptism. Renew us in your promise that we may serve this world in all its need through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Let us join together in our gathering song, "We Are Baptized in Christ Jesus," number 459. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
together in the prayer of the day. Almighty God, you anointed Jesus at his baptism with the Holy Spirit and revealed him as your beloved Son. Keep all who are born of water and the Spirit faithful in your service, that we may rejoice to be called children of God through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated.
Good morning. The first reading is from Isaiah 43, 1 through 7. Near the end of Israel's exile in Babylon, God promises to bring the people home. They need no longer be afraid because the one who formed, created, and called them by name now redeems them from all their enemies. God declares them precious and honored, and God loves them. A reading from Isaiah. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 29 responsively. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of thunder.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The Lord makes Lebanon skip like a cat, and an
The voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forest bare. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, glory.
The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forevermore.
O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace. The second reading is from Acts 8, 14 through 17. Peter and John are sent to support the new Christians in Samaria, a group that was recently baptized after hearing the good news of Christ through the preaching of Philip. Here the Samaritans received the gift of the Holy Spirit in the laying on of hands. A reading from Acts. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, through whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is the celebration of the baptism of our Lord. You hear these words, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. And with those words ringing in his ears, Jesus begins his public ministry. When we look at the Gospel of Luke, which is the Gospel that we will be spending most of our time with this year, we'll see that we've heard a little bit about Jesus' early life. And the last that we heard of him was when he was 12 years old. Remember that story? He's 12 years old and they've gone to Jerusalem. And then his mom thinks he's with his dad thinks he's with his mom, and no one seems to know where he is. And they go back to look for him, and they find him in the temple, where he says, Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I needed to be about my father's business? We're told that he went back with them to their hometown of Nazareth. He was obedient to them, and he grew in wisdom and understanding. And now a considerable amount of time has passed. John is baptizing in the Jordan River, a baptism of repentance. He is preparing the way of the Lord. That has been the call upon him since before the time he was even born. And so he's out there fulfilling his mission, preparing people, preparing their hearts and their minds for the coming of the Messiah. And here the day comes. Jesus appears at the Jordan, and just like everyone else, even though he had no need of a baptism of repentance, he is baptized and he hears the voice that is going to be carried with him throughout his ministry. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. In Luke's Gospel, the very next thing that we read is what? The genealogy of Jesus. You're thinking, wait a minute, I thought the temptation comes next. In Luke's Gospel, we get the genealogy. We get to hear who Jesus is, beginning with his parents and ending with Adam, which is an unusual way of phrasing all of this. But we're told who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Beloved of God. Jesus is the one who is going to be fulfilling the promises that God made long ago to God's people. So we get that genealogy, and then we get him in the wilderness being tempted. The beginnings of his ministry. And on this day, I'm not going to focus on what baptism is, why we do it, to whom we do it. What's important we see from this story today. We're not told specifically who did the baptizing, though we assume it's John. We're not even told, really, where this occurs. We hear from other Gospels it's in the Jordan. And the reason is that these things don't matter. Who the physical person was doing the baptizing, where the baptism occurred, how the baptism occurred is not the important part of the story. The important part is the work of God that occurs during baptism. The work of God claiming us as God's own beloved ones. When those waters of baptism were poured over us, whether we were infants or small children or adults. That is the day that God claimed us as God's very own. And God called us beloved. And God said, I love you. You are mine. So what do we do in return? What do we do now that we know that those saving waters have been poured over our head? How do we respond to the great love of God? We respond by living out our baptism. That is what Jesus did. He lived out his baptism by calling others to repentance, by telling them about the wonders of God's love, by preaching and teaching and healing. And that is what we are called to do. Whatever God is calling us to do, to live out our baptism, that is the charge of our life. This last week, all the news was filled with President Jimmy Carter. How many of you watched even a portion of his funeral service? I was watching as well. And to hear the words that were spoken about him, it was a reminder that this was a man who was not the greatest of all presidents. I don't think anyone would think that he was. I'm sure he didn't think that he was. But everything that he did during the course of his life was done to glorify God. Certainly he had his own ambitions. He would never have become a senator or the governor of Georgia or the president of the United States had he not had ambitions. But what he did not to glorify himself, but to glorify God. I found it interesting that people some years ago had entered into an agreement to eulogize him, regardless of whether they were alive or dead. And one of the most touching series of words that I heard were those that had been written by President Gerald Ford. Now, these two men had not been in the best of relationship when Jimmy Carter became president. And that had been a hard-fought campaign. And in the course of this eulogy, we hear some of that. I want to share some of these words today. So Stephen Ford, who was the son of Gerald Ford, he told the gathered mourners that toward the end of his father's life, the 38th and 39th presidents would speak by phone. And Gerald Ford asked Jimmy Carter if he would deliver the eulogy at his funeral. And then they decided to reciprocate. And this is how this eulogy begins. According to a map, it's a long way between Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Plains, Georgia. The distances have a way of vanishing when measured in value rather than miles. And it was because of our shared values that Jimmy and I respected each other as adversaries, even before we cherished one another as dear friends. Now, this is not to say that Jimmy never got under my skin, but has there ever been a group of politicians that didn't do that to one another during our 1976 contest? Jimmy knew my political vulnerabilities, and he successfully pointed them out. Now, I didn't like it, but little could I know that the outcome of that 1976 election would bring about one of my deepest and most enduring friendships. In the summer of 1981, the two of us found ourselves together again, this time aboard Air Force One, bound for the funeral of the great peacemaker Anwar Sadat. There's an old line to the effect that two presidents in a room is one too many. Frankly, I wondered how awkward that long flight might be to Cairo. And it was a long flight. But the return trip was not nearly long enough, for it was somewhere over the Atlantic that Jimmy and I forged a friendship that transcends politics. We immediately decided to exercise one of the privileges of a former president, forgetting that either one of us had ever said any harsh words about the other in the heat of battle. Then we got on to much more enjoyable subjects, discussing our families, our faith, and our sharing and sharing our experience and discovering that there is indeed life after the White House. We commiserated over the high cost of building presidential libraries and the even more regrettable fact that most of that fundraising for those otherwise admirable institutions fell to us personally. On the spot, we agreed to participate in programs at each other's libraries. He goes on. He talks about what Jimmy Carter had done. He says, "Now, I think Jimmy wrote more books than any former president. I once asked if he really enjoyed writing. He replied that with that familiar twinkle in his eye, it beats picking cotton. But I think he enjoyed writing for another reason. As an author, he was under no pressure to tailor his opinions to some political constituency or potential contributor." Now, both of us had experienced a harsh reality that defeat at the polls can be painful. But we also came to know a more important consequence. Political defeat and writing can also be liberating if it frees you to discuss topics that aren't necessarily consistent with short-term political popularity. Now, Jimmy learned early on that it was not enough merely to bear witness in a pew on a Sunday morning, inspired by his faith. He pursued brotherhood across boundaries of nationhood, across boundaries of tradition, across boundaries of caste, in America's urban neighborhoods and in rural villages around the world. He reminded us that Christ had been a carpenter, and in third world villages he successfully campaigned, not for votes, but for the eradication of diseases that shame the developed world as they ravage the underdeveloped world. Now, of course, not all of Jimmy's time was spent building houses, eradicating disease, brokering ceasefires, monitoring elections. While Jimmy is probably the only former president to conduct a weekly Bible class, I know for certain he's the only former president to perform a duet of On the Road Again with Willie Nelson. He talks about how Georgia was always on Jimmy Carter's mind. The world was always on Jimmy Carter's mind. But what was really at the heart of everything was Jimmy Carter's faith in his God and his determination to live out his baptism call. Now, when Jimmy Carter was only 4 years old, another child was born in Atlanta, Georgia. And he grew up to live out his baptismal promises as well. And we'll be celebrating him later this month. He grew up to be known as the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. He challenged the system as he saw it. He did what he could to raise up those who had been bowed down. And we saw what happened to him as a result. What he did in faith. He did in the belief that this was his call, that the eradication of differences between people based on their skin color, that need to eradicate, was based in Scripture. So we look at these two men, Jimmy Carter, Martin Luther King Jr. We can look to them, despite the flaws of their lives, as people who took to heart the words of the gospel. They took to heart the idea that we need to do two things. Love God, love neighbor. So today, on this day, when we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, that event that launched him in his public ministry, I ask you, how do you feel challenged to live out your baptismal promise? So let us pray, good and gracious God. We thank you for the waters of baptism. We thank you for the great gift of salvation. We thank you that in baptism we died with Christ, and rose with Christ, and have hope of everlasting life. We ask that you help us as we discern how best to live out our baptisms, to look to models such as Jimmy Carter, such as Martin Luther King Jr., such as parents and teachers that we may have seen, and the course of our own lives. And help us in each day of our life to live out those baptismal promises. We ask all things in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, which is Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated.
At this time, I invite Chris Johns forward, along with Scott Husa and Rachel Stern.
It is my honor to present Scott and Rachel as new members to the congregation.
In baptism, we are welcomed into the body of Christ and sent to share in the mission of God. We are called to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in the earth. Scott and Rachel, do you you intend to continue in the covenant of your baptism among God's people in this place? If you do, please say, I do, and I ask God to help and guide you. The people of God, you promise to support and pray for these new members in your life in Christ. If you do, please say, we do, and we ask God to help and guide us.
We do, and we ask God to guide and help us.
Let us welcome these new members in Christ to this community of faith. We rejoice with you in the life of baptism. Together, we will give thanks and praise to God and proclaim the good news to all the world. We give thanks for our new members, whom you have drawn to yourself by the love of Jesus Christ, and whom we have welcomed into this household of faith. Keep us close together in your spirit, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers and in service to others. Amen. Just to mark this occasion, I had to find matching crosses since we'll be walking together. So please, welcome our new members. With the Spirit of Christ shining upon us, let us boldly pray for the church, the world, and all of creation.
You call us by name and form us. We give thanks for the gift of baptism. Nurture the baptized and equip people sent to proclaim the good news, especially young adults in global mission and international congregations. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Your voice sounds over the waters. Speak words of healing over the rivers and lakes, seas and oceans. Heeding your voice, lead us to care for water and the land and creatures it nourishes. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
You give strength to your people. Uphold all who serve the common good. Guide federal and state legislators, city and county officials, judges and juries. Strengthen our resolve to serve all in need. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
You are with us in challenging times. Draw near to all who are ill, undergoing treatment, or recovering from surgery. Accompany individuals and families affected by addiction or mental health challenges. Uphold each person as your beloved child. We pray especially for those who are on our prayer chain, and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts.
Celia.
For all those affected by the wildfires in California and by other natural disaster. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
You draw us into community. Embolden ministries of racial reconciliation, nurture work on behalf of immigrants and refugees, and equip each to use their gifts for the sake of neighbors near and far. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
You grant us peace. Comfort all who grieve, especially those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Dwell with us in this life, and at last, join us with the saints whom you have created, formed, and named. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We entrust our prayers to you, O God, in the sure and certain hope that your promise is revealed among your people. Amen. Amen. Peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that.
Thank you.
And we thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings.
Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, Power of the Most High, One God, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The joy of the Lord is our strength. Come, and eat this meal of gladness. And I've left the baptismal font there so that if you want to come forward, when you come forward for communion, if you want to dip a finger and then put a cross on yourself to remember the baptism, you can do that. And you want to do that after the service, you want to be out of your family and put a little cross in each of them's forehead. But come forward now for all this time. anoint you with compassion and send you with love. Amen. Let us join together in our ascending song, Wash Over God, Our Sons and Daughters, and the Lord of God.